Good morning. No shoes, no shirt, no problem. Is that a realistic thought? Peace of mind that way, man? No shirt, no shoes, no problem. Well, we're going to find out if that's even possible. Who wrote that song, by the way? Who sang that? Anybody know?
Kenny Chesney.
Kenny Chesney. That's right. So what Gary Wilson did just now, did you hear him? Yeah. So is a mentality of no shoes, no shirt, no problem, is it just a state of mind? Well, we're going to find out. Again, my name is Pastor Doug Moore. I'm one of the teaching pastors here at Faith Fellowship. So glad to be with you and so glad to have you here worshiping together. We had a good time today. I just want to start today with just a simple truth. Not everything that looks powerful actually has power, okay? There's some things in life that appear intimidating, frightening, overwhelming, but when you confront them, you discover that they were never as powerful as they appeared. And that's what we call a paper tiger, okay? Paper tiger can look fierce. It can appear threatening. It can create fear. But when it's tested, you discover it really has no real strength. In fact, we know that Paul told Timothy that God has not given you the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. Fear is what the enemy uses to confuse us, hit us, distract us, get us off target. A lot of us spend our lives fighting paper tigers. The enemy takes a situation and magnifies it. He takes a temporary problem and makes it look permanent. He takes a moment of difficulty and tries to convince you that your destiny has been canceled. But today, right here, right now, God wants us to know our problem may be real, but your problem is not greater than our God. No shoes, no shirt, no problem. Your circumstances may be challenging, but your circumstances do not have the final authority over your life. Your battle may be intense, but your victory has already been secured through Jesus Christ and his finished work of the cross. The enemy's greatest weapon is not always what he does. Sometimes his greatest weapon is what he convinces us to believe. But when you know who you are in Christ, when you know that or what God has promised, in other words, you know his word, and when you stand on his word, the paper tiger, well, those tigers of your life lose their power. First of all, we got to really understand, if you don't know this already, trials are real, okay? They're real. People go through stuff all the time. Trials are real, but they do not have to be the final word. If we look at James chapter 1, verse 12, it says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Now, you notice here that James doesn't say, he doesn't say this. He does not say, well, blessed is the person who never faces difficulty. He doesn't say, blessed is the person who never experiences pressure. He says, blessed is the person who endures. God never promised us a life without challenges. I hope this isn't like breaking news to you guys. He has never promised us a life without challenges. In fact, the reason he came, the reason Jesus came and died and rose again for us was so that when we do face challenges, We have him to allow us to overcome them. God never promised us a life without challenges, but he did promise us victory in the middle of challenges. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. And a lot of Christians will just stop right there. A lot of Christ followers say, see, in this world we'll have trials and troubles. I'm one of yours, so there you go. And they'll just stop and say, well, this is just the way it is. This is just the way life is. This is all there is to it. But they never go on to finish that verse. It says, Jesus says, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. And if you're a Christ follower, and he lives within you, and the power of God lives within you, then you can take comfort in knowing that if he's in you, you're in him, he's overcome the world, so have we. It's good to know. Peace of mind. Jesus was honest about life. He said there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be trouble. But he also gave us an answer. He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The believer is not someone who never enters a storm. Christ followers enter storms all the time. But a Christ follower is someone who knows who is with them in the middle of the storm. And when the world sees a problem, we see an opportunity for God to reveal his power. What the world calls a situation, we see an opportunity. When the world sees defeat, we see the possibility of victory. When the world sees an ending, God sees a new beginning. That's the kind of God we serve. He is indeed a good, good Father. The enemy uses paper tigers to create fear all the time. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 9, it says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil, just so you know who he is. He prowls around like, everybody say like, a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. Notice something important here. Peter says the enemy is like or as a roaring lion. He doesn't say that the enemy is the lion, does he? Says he's like a roaring lion. According to the word of God, there's only one true lion, and that is the Lion of Judah, Jesus Christ himself. And the enemy tries to put himself up against Jesus, trying to make you think that he's just as powerful as he is, but he's not. He's like a roaring lion. He can only pretend to be a roaring lion. He can't create anything in and of himself. He's the enemy. He only counterfeits. What God puts in as reality, the enemy tries to counterfeit and tries to get you to believe the lie. But I'm here to tell you, there's only one roaring lion. It is Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, who gives us victory over everything the enemy throws at us. Every time, all the time. The enemy can make noise. The enemy can bring intimidation. The enemy can create fear. But he does not have the final authority over a child, a son, a daughter of God. Jesus already defeated him. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. In this way, what did Jesus do? He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. The enemy wants you focused on the size of your problem. God wants you focused on the greatness of his power. Jesus, when he rose again from the dead, he conquered sin, death, and hell. He made a show of the enemy, exposing him as a liar openly, so everybody could see the difference between truth and lie, power and weakness, life and death. Jesus did everything for us so that we can solely depend on him to get us through the storms of life, not to depend on ourselves to try to get something that he's already provided for us. Jesus is so good. God is so good that he's provided for us everything we need when we simply believe in who Jesus is. It's good news, man. That's why it's called the gospel. The word gospel in the Greek means good news. It's what it means. In fact, if you translate it almost strictly, directly from the Greek, it means basically the almost too good to be true good news. It is that good of news. The enemy wants us focused on the size of our problem. God wants us focused on the greatness of his power. And then we also see the paper tigers. Well, the number one is a paper tiger for some people in their lives is a fear of failure. A paper tiger can be a fear of failure. One of the greatest battles people face is the fear of failure all the time. Fear says, you've gone too far. You've made too many mistakes. You'll never recover. But God's word says something different. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. No, despite everything we go through, despite whatever we're looking at, despite whatever we're in the middle of, as believers, victory is ours. Not through anything that we do, but through what Jesus has already settled and finished on our behalf. Who loved us. And the reason he did it is simply because he loves us more than we could ever imagine or put on paper. Notice the scripture doesn't say we might become conquerors someday. We might be victorious someday. In fact, in the King James, it says we are more than conquerors. Our identity is not established by failures. Our identity as Christ followers is established by Christ, of all things. His identity is our identity. As he is in heaven, the Bible says, so are we in the earth. And as Christ followers, the devil is just as afraid of you as he is of Jesus if we know the authority and the power that we have only through him. Fear has to flee. Fear cannot be a part of our thinking when we understand that God has not given us that spirit of fear, but the spirit of faith, which is love, power, and a sound mind. The world says, you are what you have accomplished. Whatever you've accomplished in your life, that's who you are. God says, you are who I created you to be. Your mistakes and my mistakes may be part of our story, but they are not the conclusion of our story. God is a God of restoration. Somebody needs to hear that today. He is a God of restoration. In Joel chapter 2, verse 25, says this, the Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locusts, the hopping locusts, the stripping locusts, and the cutting locusts. What the enemy has stolen, God is able to restore. Whatever the enemy has taken from you in your past, whether it be in family, whether it be in money, whether it be in peace of mind, God restores. He gives back. We have his promise on that. Whatever the enemy takes, God replies with responses of abundance and love and restoration. That's because, are you ready for this? God is good. A few years ago, that gets you thrown out of a lot of churches to declare that God's good. Because a lot of people think, well, he does such terrible things. And because God gets the blame for what the enemy has ramped up and has a right to do in this fallen, awful, terrible, natural earth. What the enemy has stolen, God is able to restore. What has been broken, God is able to rebuild. What looks impossible, God is able to transform. Whatever the enemy has taken from us, God responds and restores with his goodness and mercy. Paper tiger number two could be also, or three I should say, could be the fear of people. There are a lot of people afraid of people. My father-in-law, when I asked him if I may marry his daughter back in 1987, he's a 5'7" wiry little ex-Navy guy. And, you know, I mean, he's not that big of a guy. But I'm terrified of him. And I was terrified that day. I was like, hey, can I, you know, I love her. You, can I, may I, you know, that type of stuff. And I actually said to him, I tried to do the whole, you know, like the structured asking the proper etiquette of, and I said, may I have your daughter's hand in marriage? And you know what he said to me? He said, take all of her. I was terrified for no reason. Not only because he knew I loved her, but he wanted to get rid of her. I know how that, I mean, I don't know if anybody else can relate to this, but my parents, my mom, for my graduation from high school, you know what I got as a graduation present? Luggage! It doesn't take a building to fall on me, man. But I was terrified for no reason. And we have that, we have perceptions in our mind that we get afraid. We're afraid of people, we're afraid of things. Another paper tiger is the fear of people's opinions. A lot of people never step into God's purpose because they are more concerned about what people think than what God says. Yeah, I know. Been there. We're more concerned about what people think of us or what they'll say about us than what the Word actually says we should do or what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. But when God gives you an assignment, you cannot allow criticism to cancel your calling. When God gives you an assignment, you cannot allow criticism to cancel that calling. He will follow through. He needs you to. Consider Noah. Let us consider Noah. Genesis chapter 6, verse 13 through 14 says, so God said to Noah, I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Boy, I'm glad we're past that. Yes, I will wipe them out all along with the earth. Build a large boat from cypress wood, waterproof it with tar inside and out, then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. Noah built an ark. Anybody ever go to Sunday school and heard the story? On a felt board. I have.
Yes.
I know. Yes. He obeyed God when people did not understand him. He trusted God when other people questioned him. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 22, so Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him. Sometimes faith means obeying God before you see results. Like buying a strawberry field and building a church on it. Like believing God for financial miracles. Like believing God and trusting God for healing, physically and emotionally. Sometimes faith means building when people are laughing. Sometimes faith means standing when others are sitting. Sometimes it just means trusting God more than you trust yourself. And you have that trust because you have his word. You can't just go off and start believing things and asking God to do them or bless them if you do not find them in his word. If you have his word on something, then you have his authority to receive it. Because it's his word. You're not trying to come up with something. It's his word you have his word on. And God is not a man that he should lie. In other words, he's not a lying man. He's a good God who keeps his word and has put it out there for us to stand on. Paper tiger number four basically is temporary circumstances. People see temporary circumstances as a paper tiger. It looks scary, but it's really not. They see temporary circumstances. One of the greatest mistakes we make is allowing temporary circumstances to define permanent expectations. A season is not a sentence. A chapter is not a whole book. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, it says this: "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." I like how the King James puts it. It says, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." What the enemy will try to bring you down with, what the enemy will try to make you confused with, what the enemy will say as a lie to try to get you off target and get you distracted, God will take that and he will turn it to good. What the enemy tries to throw on you in this natural world by natural means to get you naturally disappointed or naturally hurting, God has already in Christ supernaturally relieved you of those things and given you life and that more abundantly. It is awesome what God has done. And if we trust him and believe him, we know that the circumstances that we go through, whether it be death, whether it be struggles of temptation, whether it be any type of thing that we go through as a natural human being, God will utilize that for good in our lives and in the lives of others if we just simply trust him and not try to change those situations by our natural abilities. If we put those things in God's hands, he will bring about something that will rock your world. I've seen it. I've seen it recently in my life. It blows me away what happens when God is like, "You've got to do this because I can't. I'm done with it." When you get to a point as a believer, as a Christ follower, and you're almost like to a point where you say, "Well, it's come to this. I guess we got to pray." When you finally come to the end of yourself, man, that's when God rallies in your life. It is amazing. It works. He says, "Are you ready now? Are you ready for me? Are you done looking at tigers that really don't exist? Are you done being distracted by something that I already gave you power over?" As Christ followers, I've said this before, I'll keep saying it. Sometimes we're trying to get something from God that he's already given us. His love, his power, his soundness of mind. Joseph understood that when people meant what God meant for destruction, God used for his purpose, right? We know about Joseph. Your current situation is kind of lines up with what Joseph had to go through. Joseph understood this in Genesis chapter 50. He was betrayed by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. He was falsely accused. He was placed in prison, but God was still working. Somebody needs to hear this today. Your current situation is not your final destination. God is still writing your story. He's not finished. Don't take one chapter of a book and make it all about the entire story. What you only see at this moment is what you're living in at this second. That's why as born-again believers, as Christ followers, we need to live in the moment and trust God for the tomorrows. And not even look at the past. It's done. It's over. Let it go. Live right here, hear from God, and trust in the tomorrow that Jesus is already in. How can we trust in tomorrow? Jesus is already there. And he told us he would never leave us or forsake us. That's heavy, man. It's beautiful. And it's all because he's a good God. Everybody say, God is good. He really is. All the time. Well, look at you. Some of you people went to church. And all the time, well, isn't that the truth or isn't that the truth? Every day, all the time. Father, you are so good. And we're grateful that when we see these paper tigers, we recognize them for that's what they are. They're not something that actually will come off a page and eat us. You know, our mind sees the viciousness. It sees the danger. It sees the apocalyptic outcome. But when we compare it to who you are, what your word says we are, and what you have already done, your plans to prosper us, not to harm us, plans for a great future, as it tells us in Jeremiah. That's your plan. That's your heart. You love us. And you love us beyond anything we can comprehend in the natural. Thank you. Thank you that we do not take fear as the final word. Fear, we cast you out. You have to go. And we're thankful, Father, that you've not given us that spirit of fear. It does not come from you. But you've given us love, power, and a sound mind. You are so good, and we're thankful for all that you've done, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We are going to have prayer teams up here. And I'm telling you, if you're struggling with stuff that we talked about today, we will agree with you and thank God that you'll walk out of here without that stuff entangling you anymore. Because God is good. Let's worship him some more this morning.